Hi, I'm Femi Oke. Welcome to the stream. Today we are focusing on Sri Lanka and the worst economic crisis the country has been through in decades. How are regular people managing as prices go up and basic goods are really hard to find? This is a conversation that you're invited to as well on YouTube. The comment section is live, ready for your thoughts, your comments and being part of the discussion.
We have not faced such hardship before. The last year or two has been very difficult. I get paid a good salary, but I no longer can manage with that. When we get up in the morning, the prices have doubled. Now we only get half of what our salaries could get us before this. The fault is not with my job or the salary I get. The problem is with the rising prices.
Joining the conversation to help us understand what an economic crisis in Sri Lanka looks like today, we have Manel, Lahini and Harsha. Welcome all three of you to the stream. Manel, please introduce yourself to our Al Jazeera audience. I am sure they know who you are. Just remind them.
For those who do, I've been in journalism for something like 30 years now, right out of school, and a little over half of that with Al Jazeera. So I've been reporting on Sri Lanka for that time for the channel.
So glad to have you on board. Lahini, welcome to the stream. Please introduce yourself to our international audience.
Hi, pleasure to be in conversation with all of you. I'm Lahini Fernando, attorney at law and municipal council member representing the opposition.
Good to have you. And hello, Harsha. Introduce yourself to our global audience.
Hi, this is Harsha De Silva. I'm a member of parliament representing the opposition. I was previously in government, a non-cabinet minister of economic reform. It's a pleasure to be here.
All right. So, Guess, what I wanted to really get from you is, what does an economic crisis look like? What does it feel like? What is the experience of that? Earlier on, we spoke to Karu, who just did a list of what it is like in Sri Lanka today. Have a listen, Manel, and then come immediately off the back with your thoughts and your experiences too.
We have food shortages, we have gas shortages, we have fuel shortages, we have milk food shortages, we have cement shortages. So therefore, daily life is very badly affected. And people are, some of the families we know are going without three meals a day. So this is why we have been trying to reach some consensus with the leading political parties.
So prices have been rising, as you heard that list, but it's not just the fact that it's the prices that are rising. There are shortages. People essentially go to the shops. They can't find milk powder. Obviously, the amount and the quantity of goods that they can buy for a certain limited amount of money is getting less and less. And obviously, salaries are pretty much fixed as they have been. So people are finding that their buying power has reduced. They're also having issues of sourcing essential goods, things like fuel, cooking gas, and more recently, medicines and particular essential food items. So it's very much difficult because, you know, average families are having to spend lots of time in queues. You know, certain families have complained that, you know, the mother's in one queue, the father's in another queue, and sometimes the queue. This is the reality that we are finding. We've seen it over the recent weeks, and it's making people very, very angry because sometimes not just is the fact that, you know, things are shooting up in price, but sometimes even if you have the money and you spend hours and hours in queues, you still can't get what you want.
Lahini, can you remember when the economic crisis started to bite, where you spent a big chunk of your day queuing for goods? When could you say this is when it started?
So this economic crisis, it was something that was warned prior, I would say 18 months back. It was warned by many political parties that Sri Lanka will be going into a crisis and that we might lead to a situation where there might be debt default and where the price of goods will rise. And also we saw the government unprecedentedly printing money, which actually led to this inflation and this unfortunate situation that we are currently in. So this is a situation, I wouldn't say something that shot overnight, but it was coming and the government could have taken corrective measures, but sadly it didn't happen. And here we are today in a quite an unfortunate situation where the people are struggling to manage their day-to-day lives. Half of the day they are being spending on queues, mothers struggling to, you know, feed their kids the three meals, all the sectors virtually, say the SME sectors, the small and medium enterprise sectors, as well as small-time workers, everybody, middle income to lower income, every sector, I would say, has come to a standstill because the government has been unable to provide the basics for the functioning of the country.
Harsha, it's interesting that Lahini said 18 months ago there was this prediction. Could that knowledge have saved Sri Lanka from where it is right now? Or would you still be in exactly the same place? Because, of course, there's a COVID pandemic too. And a lot of the tourism and dollars that was coming to Sri Lanka, there isn't that money there for the government to draw from. Harsha?
Well, this could have been avoided. This need not have happened. I made a long speech as the opening speaker for the opposition when the 2021 budget was presented in November of 2020, and I urged the government to seek the support of the IMF. Because what we currently have is a toxic combination of a debt overhang and a liquidity crisis. So you're right. Yes, we lost some tourism dollars. But due to the mismanagement of the currency, the remittances actually fell short. People started sending money through the black market. That created a discrepancy in the official rate and the black market rate. that liquidity crisis caused the government to start using the reserves it had. Now the reserves have fallen to almost absolutely nothing. So it is a mismanagement of the economy. Yes, the pandemic played some role, I can't deny that, but this certainly could have been avoided.
When you say that, I'm just going to say, Manel, I know we were working on this to try and get a voice from the coalition government to come and join us. And we tried really hard because we wanted to have their voice in this really important conversation. We weren't able to do that. But just thinking about how the government, the coalition government, Manel, is handling this crisis, if Harsha is saying this is mismanagement, what are you seeing?
Again, there are obviously a certain amount of challenges that the government has had to face. It's not something that has been an easy thing, not just for the government here in Sri Lanka, but as a global phenomenon. Price rises, shortages of essential goods, food, energy, it's being seen across the board. And for the government here, they have also talked about a sort of a double whammy. If we go pandemic, you have to remember that Sri Lanka had this devastating terrorist attack in 2019, where almost 300 people were killed in a series of coordinated bomb attacks on Easter Sunday 2019. And that in itself dealt the first blow on the economy in terms of affecting, in a major way, tourism, because for months on end, people were taken aback. They weren't sure what exactly was going on. And that did deal quite a serious blow. We were just beginning as an economy also to recover. That's not to say the financial house was in order. There were sort of cracks and issues, but that series of attacks did deal a serious blow. And the government had to deal with the consequences of that. Just, maybe 10 months or so, while things were beginning to settle or fall slowly into place, then they got whacked with COVID as well. That is not to say that COVID is the kind of reason or the excuse that things are falling apart. It did deal a blow, but definitely in terms of the way they've managed things, or as Harsha says, mismanaged things, there are quite a few people across the board that feel that things could have been handled much better. They could have actually worked with a much broader set of people, not just, gone down their own sort of solutions without looking at the bigger picture. So there is a general feeling that things could have been better.
All right, let me show you something here on my laptop. Lahini, have a look at this. This is a community meal share. So it's here on my laptop. This is a tweet that I want to share with you. And then with this tweet goes alongside a comment that Nadika sent us, because she is seeing, whether you decide this is government mismanagement or COVID or loss of tourist dollars, there are people in need in Sri Lanka right now, and she's trying to help them. I really want to get your take on what it is that the community is doing for themselves and the fact that they have to do it for themselves. Here's Nadika, first of all.
Community Meal Share was initiated by myself and my friends and family to support vulnerable groups during this very difficult time in Sri Lanka. We understand that the economic crisis in Sri Lanka is affecting many homes right now. So what we do is take warm cooked meals into people's homes when they request it. Even if they do not request it, we send out a notification through certain community leaders, and we ask them to allow us to support them during this difficult time.
Lahini, go ahead.
Yeah, so there are many informally, there are a lot of support services that are happening in the country. Like, for example, if you take the informal working sector, transport sector, basically the daily wage earners, there are certain initiatives taken by charity organizations, different clubs where they intervene to support not just by food, but to assist in education in terms of also in terms of covering their day-to-day expenses. So I would say from the government per se, there is not direct initiatives, but informal sectors, there are certain initiatives that are being taken to assist.
I'm just going to go to YouTube because our audience are taking part in the conversation as well. Harsha, let me just put this one to you. Ahafil says, the middle class is fast seeing its savings vanish and purchasing power decline. This is fueling a brain drain. It could take some years to get the economy back on track. Your thoughts briefly, Harsha. Go ahead.
No, that is absolutely true. Because when the rupee depreciated by almost 40%. And if you look at the curb market, the black market, it has depreciated far more than that. What it means is people's savings have diminished. So sure, that is what's going on. And even today I was coming out of a small cafe after a cup of coffee, and two young men came up to me and said, Harsha, you know, I'm 32 years old and I'm an IT worker and I want to leave. What do you think I should do? And I hear this all the time and it's very sad. But I want to also add something to what Minel said. And that is, yes, the tourism dollars not flowing in did have an impact, but it was not really that triggered this crisis. What triggered the crisis was an irresponsible tax cut that came before the pandemic, which caused a massive hole in the treasury of about one-third the revenue that was lost. And in order to fill that hole, the central bank started printing money. And when people like us want the central bank...
Harsha, can I just ask you, because I'm just a mere plebeian, can you just print money? Isn't that disastrous?
It is absolutely disastrous. This is what you learn in principles of macroeconomics. But the central bank continued to say to the people, look, this will not cause inflation. And, mm-hmm. and they have printed so much money, just to give you a sense of how much.
Yeah,
while the real economy for the last 2 years grew by 0.1%, money supply, that is all the money that is available in this economy, has grown by 41%. So it is no surprise that prices are going up. And when you say prices, it includes the price of US dollars. So therefore, this has been a man-made disaster. And I want to also add, in the middle of the pandemic, the government decided one fine day, overnight, they were going to ban the importation of fertilizer. And that just was a death blow to the agriculture. And what we are hearing is that with this harvest in the rice-producing areas, harvest has come down perhaps by 40 to 60%.
Harsha, if I may just interject, the banning of fertilizer wasn't necessarily on a whim. It was they wanted there to be organic fertilizers, so they were banning non-organic fertilizer, as I understand it. Is that correct?
Yeah. I mean, there's no country in the world. There's no country in the world that has a fully organic agriculture sector. Nothing, nowhere, right? So, a lot of people who know about this, experts, the professors, they all said, don't do it.
So, Harsha, you've put a spotlight on where you think the government is being deficient. I'm going to remind people that you are an opposition politician, so this is your job. In the meantime, Manel, I've just been looking on Twitter at Al Jazeera English. Have a look here on my laptop. We have a developing story. Police in Sri Lanka firing tear gas and water cannons to disperse huge crowds protesting near the president's residence in Colombo. You have done reporting at protests and demonstrations. I'm just going to remind our audience some of the stories that you filed. This one in particular was at a demonstration quite recently. Let's take a look.
Another day and another rally, with thousands of angry people taking to the streets in Sri Lanka. They came from around the country, desperate to be heard.
People are facing hardships. Even those who have money don't have goods to buy. Children, students, parents, everyone is facing problems.
The crowds carried banners that said 74 years of corruption, enough is enough. People are crying, patients are dying, and the government is lying.
We want the government to get a clear message that the people have had enough and it is time that they allow the people to make a new choice and form a new government that can at least start to resolve some of these issues.
So we have ongoing protests and demonstrations, a current protest outside the president's palace. How is the government responding, Manel, to all of this criticism?
Obviously, they're not very happy campers at this time, because there's been a series of demonstrations, very large show of numbers, if you like. And the one that you saw was affiliated to certain political groups. There were one or two sort of massive scale protests as seen in recent years, something like 35,000 people, but one of the main opposition parties. In fact, that Harsha's part of the SJB that we saw on the 15th of March, then this protest that we've just seen this week, thousands of farmers congregating in the north central sort of city of Polonnaruwa, which is very much one of the backbones of the agricultural part of this country. And again, it comes back to that fertilizer ban that you referred to earlier. The fact that literally overnight, the government brought in a ban on chemical fertilizer, on weedicide and pesticide, without as much as a by your leave, without discussing it with farmers, without, you know, testing the water, so to speak, to find out what people thought, to look at phasing it in, because that's what the Gotabe Rajapaksa election manifesto did talk about, a green agriculture, moving to, you know, healthier growing practices and things like that. But it did talk about 10 years. But having put that aside and bringing in this ban overnight really took farmers by surprise. They really struggled to find the proper fertilizer, because for decades and decades, they had all of these chemical fertilizer products thrown at them and they got used to it. In fact, one of the farmers we talked to at the rally the other day said, look, it's like a drug addict. You can't expect a drug addict just to go cold turkey overnight after, you know, he's been used to that much of narcotics in his system. It's just not going to happen. So this is something that really sort of affected and hit farmers. And you see that anger when they come together, because they've just sort of harvested lots of that area I talked about in the North Central Province, has harvested that crop. And the numbers that we're hearing, as Harsha referred to earlier, is anything from, I've heard 40%, Harsha said up to 60%. So there is evidence, even though we haven't heard the official final figures yet from the government and institutions, that the harvests have fallen in a major way. And this is obviously hitting directly to the livelihoods of, you know, thousands of people in those agricultural communities.
Lahini, I just want to get some thoughts from you about President Rajapaksa, because I'm going to play a little bite of him talking about asking the IMF for help. But the whole policy, economic policy for Sri Lanka was, we can do this alone. We're going to get financing from not just from within the region, but from within Sri Lanka. That didn't work out. So he's backtracking a little bit. No, he's backtracking a lot. What do you make of the decisions that he's been making? And then I'm going to play his voice and his approach that he's taking right now. Lahina, you start.
Yeah, so ever since this government came into office, they've had this whole inward-looking approach as opposed to, you know, having an outward-looking approach because they had this homegrown policy where everything can be done within the country. Hence, even also in this whole managing the debt crisis, the government was quite reluctant to go to the IMF and seek international assistance. And also, we've seen that one of the main issues with Sri Lanka is from time to time, we see policy changes from government to government policy changes. So when this particular president came into office, I mean, they presented their manifestos with stars of prosperity and the policies that were brought forward were somewhat different to the previous government. So this particular change affected the economy in a very large scale. And however, though they brought in those policies, they were not in a position to sustain it. Hence, that leading and that going towards corruption, mismanagement, all culminated together, I would say, has led to this total economic crisis. And it is something that they could have avoided, but it is sheer unplanned and lack of strategy, lack of taking advice from professionals and not having the right people in the right place to advise. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, Sri Lanka has always been a country which has had a global approach and which had maintained much international relations with a lot of countries and not just been inclined to certain nations. But their policy has been towards inclination towards certain countries, which also has not acted in favourable.
I want to, Lahina, if I may, let me put the president in the show because unfortunately he wasn't able to join us or his spokespeople weren't able to join us because this is how he is framing how he's going to tackle the economic issue, the economic crisis in Sri Lanka. Have a listen, have a look.
I am well aware of the shortages of essential items and the increase in prices. I'm also aware of issues such as gas shortages, fuel shortages, and power cuts. I am very sensitive to the many sufferings the people have had to experience over the past 2 months. I know that this situation will continue for reasons beyond our control, though we make maximum possible efforts with regard to these situations. Yesterday's discussion with the International Monetary Fund was held for this purpose. We hope to find a way to pay off our annual loan installments, sovereign bonds, and so on. Subsequent to my discussions with the IMF, I have decided to work with them after examining the advantages and the disadvantages.
So on YouTube, I'm seeing your comments, YouTube. Thank you for your comments. You're asking, so what do we do about this? I'm really glad that you asked that question. I'm going to go to Murtaza Jafarji, who spoke to us just a little bit earlier, with a whole list of what Sri Lanka should be doing next. Here he is.
We have to start with restructuring our unsustainable external debt. We have to significantly reduce the energy subsidies that are on electricity and fuel, which is disproportionately going to the top 20% of households. We have to reprice policy interest rates to be more closer to market interest rates. We have put in certain controls on foreign exchange conversion that is creating more panic in the market. And we need to put some announcements about fiscal policy that we will increase taxes, which was one of the key reasons that led to this crisis by cutting taxes. And most importantly, we urgently need an IMF program.
Harsha, thank you so much for sharing your take on what is happening with the economic crisis in Sri Lanka. Lahini, we really appreciate you. Manel, I actually have 30 seconds left. In that last 30 seconds, what do you think would happen next?
The level of anger that you see on the streets is something that is quite palpable. We saw it this evening, the update that you talked about, that developing story, hundreds of people gathering outside the president's house.
Thank you.
Purely for frustration, so it's going to get worse, I believe, before it can get better.
Mm-hmm. We will be following your reporting online and on Al Jazeera. Thank you so much, Manel, Lahini, Harsha, and all the comments on YouTube. Appreciate you. I'll see you next time. Take care, everybody.